and we didn't get to go. Daggone it. Yeah, we'll have to sometime. Well, praise the Lord. Yeah. Sure, go ahead. You want to come up here and say it? Or? But a good time was had by all, by one little woman's faith.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. They were going to take it away from you, Jim. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, it's wonderful when people can get together like that and can minister to each other and just love on each other and just be an encouragement to each other. And maybe we can do a lot more things like that in the future, you know, as God opens up the opportunities. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I get into this word. I just don't have a real long word here, but I'm going to share with you this morning. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I come into your presence right now. I just lift and magnify you. Father, I thank you for the freedom that you've given us and even for the freedom that we have in Christ, Lord, that we can move and flow in you and be obedient to your Holy Spirit and just watch and see the mighty things that you do. And I ask you to have your way here today and just bless this little word that I share. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And the title to my sermon today is 4th of July. Okay. You know, I think sometimes we tend to take for granted the freedom that we have in this country. And I think that we're so many generations removed from the wars and different things that have really affected everyone's life, you know. I mean, they affect us to a certain extent now, but it's not like they have a draft where everybody's husbands are going off and everybody's sons are going off like they used to be. But, you know, we do take for granted sometimes the freedom that God has given us and the ability to even come together like this and worship and to share and to talk about the name of Jesus. I mean, in some countries, there would be people coming in here trying to arrest you, you know, or trying to who knows, even try to behead you or whatever in some countries. But, you know, I'm going to share a couple of scriptures with you to start off here this morning, and then I'm going to read you a few historic things. And I think these things are really beautiful, and I love them, and they're actually historic. So in Psalms 85:9-13, I love this scripture. It says, "Surely his salvation is nigh unto them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. righteousness and peace have kissed each other. I love that scripture. Because, you know, righteousness and peace have to kiss each other. There can be no peace without the righteousness of the Lord in the land, you know. And it says, truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Wow, that's a powerful scripture. I tell you, that's a great promise there if we'll just receive it. And, you know, I'm going to read you this scripture out of two different translations. I'm going to read it to you out of the King James first. And I don't think the King James brings it out very well. And then I'm going to read it to you out of the Message. It's Galatians 5, 5 through 9. And it says, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And you know, I shared back there in the Sunday school class a few weeks ago, you know, we were talking about some various deeper things, and we were talking about the two witnesses. And I was telling the people back there that I'll never forget that Miles always used to say, you know, the two witnesses, because a lot of people try to say, well, it's Elijah and it's Moses and it's this and it's that. But Miles used to teach, and he used to say, the two witnesses are faith, which worketh by love. And I'm going to tell you what, as our faith begins to rise, and our whole purpose is to express and to show the love of God everywhere we go, then that's the two witnesses. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And I'm going to tell you what, the world's going to start to be turned around when people move in the realm of faith, and their only motivation is the love of God. There's a lot of people that move in faith out there today, or they think they're moving in faith, and their motivation is to get bigger offerings and to get more money so they can buy the bigger cars or the bigger houses or whatever. And I happened to be, Margaret and I happened to be at one of her friends' house, and she was telling us about her uncle who belongs to this church, and I don't know the name of it, and if I knew the name, I wouldn't even say it, but the name of this particular church, and was talking about that the minister took him, he's supposedly becoming one of the elders in the church, and the minister's wife took him out with her to buy the minister some new shoes, and the pairs of shoes that she was buying him cost $2,000 a piece. And I'm thinking, $2,000 shoes? Something's wrong there. You can get a nice pair of shoes for $100, $200, you know, $2,000. But I was thinking, you know, there's just so many things that are supposedly done in the realm of faith out there, supposedly, but it's not by love. And you know, the love would be that particular brother would say, hey, buy me a pair of $100 shoes and let's take the $900 and minister to somebody else that has a need, you know. But, you know, they were talking about how big his house was and all this stuff, and she was telling me, she says, I just can't believe that that's a Christian. I said, well, I'm not going to judge, I said, but, I said, you know, he'll have to account for everything that he does there someday with the Lord. So anyway, that scripture is Galatians 5, 5 through 9. I'm going to read the rest of it. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? The persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, a lot of people in this day and age, if you read that scripture and you don't know what leaven is and you're not real, these are not familiar terms with you, you know, I'm going to read this to you out of the Message Bible, and I think it brings it out beautifully and perfectly. And in Galatians 5, 5 through 9, in the Message Bible, it says, meanwhile, we expectantly wait for a satisfying relationship with the Spirit. For in Christ, neither the most conscientious religion nor disregard of religion amounts to anything. What matters is something far more, and I love this, interior. Interior. And I'm telling you, I got that underlined here, interior. Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. What matters is something far more interior, faith expressed in love. And I'm going to tell you what, creation out there is waiting for a people to grow up in Christ and begin to express the faith that they have in God and express it out of the love of God. Because that's the answer for creation out there. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he talks about showing you the more excellent way. And the more excellent way is love. And I'm going to tell you what, until the church starts moving in just the love of God, and that being the only principle and the only thing that's really driving them is the love of God and the love that he has for his creation, things are not going to really change out there. But I'm going to read it to you again. I'm going to read the rest of it. It says, meanwhile, we expectantly wait for a satisfying relationship with the Spirit. For in Christ, neither the most conscientious religion or disregard of religious religion amounts to anything. What matters is something far more interior, faith expressed in love. You were running soberly. Who cut in on you, deflecting you from the true course of obedience? And we were talking about obedience back there in Sunday school this morning. This detour doesn't come from the one who calls you into the race in the first place. And please, don't toss off as insignificant. He's saying, don't toss this off as being insignificant, because it's very significant. You know, this that I'm going to read you here, I'm going to read you some things that are actually historic. And the Continental Congress got together on July the 3rd, 1776, and this is a recorded statement of John Adams. And a lot of people out there try to tell you, well, you know, there's a big separation of church and state, and I've had people try to tell me, well, the founding fathers really weren't real Christian-oriented, and they're wrong. They're dead wrong. And this is what he said. The second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America, to be celebrated by succeeding generations. The great anniversary festival commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty from one end of the continent to the other, from this time forward, and forevermore. This was John Adams. This was the second president of the United States. This was when they were writing the Declaration of Independence. And then this next one says, on July the 3rd, 1776, the day after Congress approved the wording of the Declaration of Independence, John Adams wrote this to his wife, Abigail. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade and with shows and games and sports and guns and bells and bonfires and illuminations from one end of the continent to the other, from this time forward forever. You will think me transported with enthusiasm, but I am not. I am well aware of the toil and the blood and the treasure that it will cost to maintain this declaration and support and defend these states. Yet through all of the gloom, I can see the rays of ravishing light and the glory. I can see the end is worth more than all the means, and the posterity will triumph in that day's transaction, even though we may regret it, in which I trust is in God, we shall not. Then on July 21st, 1776, Abigail, his wife, wrote a letter to her husband. Abigail wrote to her husband, John Adams, of the reaction in Boston to the public reading of the Declaration of Independence. Last Thursday, after hearing a very good sermon, I went with the multitude into the King Street to hear the proclamation for independence read. The proclamation, when Colonel Kraft read from the balcony of the State House, the proclamation, great attention was given to every word. As soon as he ended, the cry from the balcony was, "God save our American states." After dinner, the king's arms were taken down and from the State House, and every vestige of him from every space in which it appeared, and burnt in the King's Street. Thus ends the royal authority in this state, and all the people shall say, Amen. On February the 8th, 1797, Abigail wrote to her husband, John Adams, upon his election as the second president of the United States, "You have this day to declare yourself head of a nation. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant ruler over the people. Give unto him an understanding heart, that he may know how to go out and come in before this great people." You ever heard that before? That's what Solomon said. Come out and go out and come in among this great people, that they may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Were the words of royal sovereignty, the sovereign, and not less applicable to him who is invested with the chief magistracy of a nation, where he wear not a crown nor robes of royalty. Through personally absent, my petitions to heaven are that the things which make for peace may not be hidden from your eyes, that you may be enabled to discharge them with honor to yourself and with justice and impartiality to your country, and with satisfaction to this great people, shall be a daily prayer of your Abigail Adams. I tell you, when you hear people carry on about, you know, all the separation of church and state and all the stuff about God, it absolutely infuriates me, because they don't know God, and that's the reason that they say that. But this country was established upon the principles of Christianity. It was established on the principles of God, and there's so many documents that you could go back and look at where they talked about all this different stuff. And, you know, even the Declaration of Independence, and the reason I'm saying all this is because, you know, we take for granted too much the freedoms that we have. And we don't realize that people paid sometimes we don't think about the tremendous cost that they paid. You got to realize they had 13 little bitty colonies back then, very small, not a tremendous amount of people in the United States. They came here mainly for religious freedom and got started by that. And, you know, they took on the mightiest power on the face of the earth at that time, which was the British Empire. And they were outmanned, outgunned, and out everything. And I'm going to tell you, God established this country. This country could never be here had not God established this country. And we need to constantly be thankful for what these people did ahead of us, you know, before we were ever around, and the price that they paid, you know. And I'm just going to read you just a little bit of the beginning of the Declaration of Independence. It says, "When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth a separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created equal, that they were endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and the General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world to rectify rectitude of our intentions and for the support of the declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And that's all I'm going to read to you about that. But I want you to just realize we need to be thankful. And even on the 4th of July, you know, a lot of times we celebrate Christmas and we celebrate a lot of things. But we need to realize that God established this country. And this stuff that people are constantly putting out there, you know, we need to start telling people what actually is said, what actually is there, you know. And that this country only stands by the authority and the power of God. And if we ever forget that, then I tell you what, we're going to be in big trouble. You know, I've heard people talk about the First Amendment in the Constitution a lot of times, and I'm not real political or anything, but I'm just going to tell you, they carry on about, you know, that the government shall not institute, or basically what it says, institute any certain religion, but they never read the second part of it. It says, or hinder the free exercise thereof. And they're always trying to hinder the free exercise. And I tell you what, it's time for American people to not let them do that. Because I tell you, if we forget that we were established by God and that we stand by the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit, if we forget that, we might lose a lot of those freedoms that we have and a lot of those things that we enjoy. And I know God's in control of it all, and I believe in the sovereignty of God. But I'm going to tell you what, sometimes we tend to take things for granted, and we don't speak up when people say things, and we don't tell them what actually is going on. I had a brother-in-law visit me a while back, and I think I told you guys, and he was trying to tell me, well, there isn't anything, you know, he said, a lot of the politicians back in that day, they weren't even Christians and this and that. And he said, there's nothing in the Constitution, and there's nothing, and I told him, I happen to have a Declaration of Independence and a Constitution, and I hauled it out, and I read it to him, and then he got real quiet because he didn't know what to say. But people are told this stuff, and they believe it. And I'm telling you, you know, this country only stands by the authority and the power of God. That's the only way it stands. And, I mean, it's been a great country, and it don't need to be made great again. It is a great country, but it's great because of the principles that God placed in this country. And it's great because it has a lot of Christian people. It's great because you're in it, because God's in you, and you're in this country. That's what makes this country great. And we just need to realize that we are so blessed. There's so many people around the world who can't even pray out in the open, can't even do anything that we can do, and we take a lot of this stuff totally for granted, and we don't really acknowledge, you know, the blessings that we really have. And we're a tremendously, tremendously blessed country. And the Christians are a tremendously blessed people. And, you know, I know this is a little different, but this is what I felt like I was supposed to do today. So if you all stand, I'll close in a word of prayer.
Pastor,
yes.
Can I confirm scripture to what you
have? Sure, go right ahead.
Least at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which in the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by those that heard him?
Amen. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, folks, a lot of times I'll hear Christians and they're complaining about this particular politician or that particular politician. Let me tell you what, your prayer needs to be the same as Abigail Adams was for her husband. You need to pray, God, give them the wisdom, give them the understanding
Let your presence rest upon that office, because if it doesn't, I tell you, this country can go down real fast. And we need to pray. Scripture even tells us to pray for those that are in authority. And it tells us that there's no authority but that which is given by God. And I tell you, sometimes I get very, very concerned with Christians when I hear them just beating people up, you know, and saying some pretty ugly stuff about any of the people who, you know, the two people who are running for president right now, you know what? That's who they are. And whoever wins that thing, that's who God's going to put in there. And we need to pray for that person, whoever it is, and just ask God to keep his hand on them, give them wisdom, give them understanding. And you know, so many times, like I say, I hear Christians complaining and mumbling and grumbling, and they almost sound like they hate people. And you know what? We're not supposed to hate anybody. We're supposed to speak the truth in love. And we're supposed to move in faith, which worketh by love. And boy, when we're talking about hating people and all this and that, that gets pretty ugly, I think. But I tell you, we need to quit doing that. And maybe that's why the Lord had me share this today. I don't know. Because we need to check ourselves. If we're saying too many negative things, we need to quit doing that. And we need to start praying for those who he's setting in authority, regardless of who they are. And I don't care if they're the biggest crook going. You know, you pray for them and watch and see if maybe God will turn them completely around if that's the case, you know. But anyway, that's all I had to share with you today. God bless you all. Stand up and we'll close in prayer. If anybody like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you that you are sovereign, you are in control. And then, Father, I just ask you to even deal with all of our hearts, that we would quit being negative concerning the things that's going on and start praising you and looking to you in everything and praying for those that you set in authority, no matter who they are or no matter what party they're from or any of that kind of stuff. We need to just begin to pray that your will be done in the earth and believe that it's going to be done and just trust in you, Father. And Lord, there's going to come a day when the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And that's going to be the anointed ones. That's going to be us, Father, as we grow up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. But Father, help us just not go about being grumblers and complainers. We were just talking back there in Sunday school about why Moses couldn't enter in. Moses couldn't enter in because he was a type of the law. Instead of being a type of the love of God, he was a type of the law. And because he was disobedient as to what God told him to do, God told him to speak to the rock the second time. That appeared in scriptures. He told him to, the first time he told him to smite the rock only once, and he did that. Water came forth. The second time that situation happened, he told him to speak to the rock. And he took the staff and he smote the rock twice. And because of that, he wasn't allowed to enter into the promised land. Well, Father, just help us to be obedient. When you tell us to pray for somebody, let us pray for them, Father. Let us trust and believe that you're in control. And let's just lift and magnify people rather than tearing them down. Whether we agree with where they're at or what they're doing or not, let's begin to pray for them, because that's the way people's lives get changed. And I just thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all.